online and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, Taoiseach Micheál Martin says a plan before Cabinet this evening will allow schools reopen and stay open. The former Education Minister, meanwhile, acknowledges that while a funding announcement will get schools reopened initially, financing and resources will have to be kept under review. Ireland is tantalisingly close to eliminating the coronavirus in the community, according to a leading expert. The Higher Education Minister claims Sinn Féin's criticism of pay rises for super junior ministers is hypocritical. And we'll hear about the Donegal fishing vessel that was ordered to leave an area of Irish waters by a British naval vessel last week. All those to come, much more besides. Plus, we'll have sports news with Oisin Kelly. That's coming up at around 5:15. Good evening. We begin, though, with the plan to reopen schools at the end of next month. And Taoiseach Micheál Martin says a plan going to Cabinet this evening will allow schools reopen and stay open. Ministers are considering the more than €300 million plan, which would see schools given significant funding to undergo building works and adapt to life after COVID. With more, here's political correspondent Sean Defoe.
Cabinet ministers have been meeting throughout the afternoon to approve a package worth more than €300 million to get the schools reopened. Taoiseach Micheál Martin says it's an important step.
So I think there's a very comprehensive package will be put to Cabinet today, embracing a wide range of supports to enable our schools to open, but also to keep them open in what is an unprecedented global pandemic.
While Minister Eamon Ryan has said it's crucial for students.
We need our kids back in school. They need it for their health, for their well-being and for their education, obviously, and also for parents.
But immunologist Luke O'Neill has warned that it will come with risk.
But we do know, if you observe all the guidelines, and we know they're working very hard here, aren't they, and getting the guidelines to be, you know, as perfect as possible, that's the thing to do, because that means that it's unlikely that schools will become a source. But you need to have all these measures in place, and it's very complicated.
What teachers want to see is the detail of the funding for construction work to adapt schools and more money for substitute teachers. The guidance will include no social distancing below third class and 1 metre distance after that. But with just 4 weeks now to implement changes to adhere to tonight's guidelines, for many schools it will be a race to reopen.
Well, the former Education Minister has acknowledged that while the funding announcement of just over €300 million will get schools open initially, financing and resources will have to be kept under review. Donegal Deputy Joe McHugh says the success of the summer provision programme has proven that health measures can be implemented effectively, but he says there was an understanding that at times the 1 or 2 metre social distancing rule simply couldn't be upheld. Deputy McHugh says when schools do reopen, it's important that there is what he termed a middle ground of common sense.
The ambition is to get all children back to school. It's an enormously ambitious logistical exercise as well, because you're talking about 1 million students. But the overarching feeling amongst parents and the overwhelming majority of teachers is that they want their children back in school. They want the students back in school, because by the end of August, you're looking at students being out of school for up to 6 months. And like anything with the deal, it's about finances and resources. But I think John Boyle from INTO made a very, very important point this morning. While there is going to be an announcement today of X euro, it'll have to be monitored, because this is a whole new territory. The health criteria is very, very specific in terms of what it's saying about third, fourth, fifth and sixth class in primary school, that there has to be 1 metre distance, and 1 metre distance in post-primary is going to have a big logistical look at what the classroom looks like. Once you start introducing measurements like 1 metre or 2 metres, that there has to be a common sense and there has to be a middle ground. And if you look at the summer provision programme that we held over the summer, which was very successful, it was an extra 9,000 students, children with special needs that came into the system, 24,000 students, and SNAs and teachers and school principals and boards of management really rose to the challenge, and they made it work. But there also was an understanding that you can't at all times have 2 metres or 1 metre, so there has to be a middle ground of common sense here.
And that was the former Education Minister and current Donegal Deputy, Joe McHugh. Well, as you heard during Sean Defoe's report earlier, Trinity College-based immunity professor Luke O'Neill has said he believes that Ireland is tantalisingly close to eliminating coronavirus in the community completely. It comes ahead of key decisions in the reopening of the Irish economy including today's meeting, to discuss the future of schools. Professor Luke O'Neill says it is a very close thing, but everyone must play their part.
We're almost there. That was tantalisingly close, and that we're going to nearly get elimination in Ireland. And it is the big question of the All-Ireland policy. The travel is the big bugbear, isn't it? Let's face it, because we're pretty close to this now. The next issue is going to be the dreaded pubs again, isn't it? On August the 10th. So what do we do then? But we're very close to being in a much better place than we've been. You know, so in other words, we can be somewhat optimistic. But again, it's vigilance, and everybody has to keep doing the same. I think it's every like a mantra at this stage, isn't it?
And in Northern Ireland, 21 new cases of coronavirus confirmed today. No new deaths once again. The Higher Education Minister claims Sinn Féin's criticism of pay rise for super junior ministers is hypocritical. It's after the Dáil approved legislation for three of them to get an extra €16,000 a year, bringing their salaries to over €140,000. Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty, the party's finance spokesperson, says it's a disgrace because of the pandemic. That's a perspective backed by his party colleagues. However, Minister Simon Harris says Sinn Féin takes a very different stance at Stormont.
Some of the people levelling some of the strongest criticisms, including Deputy Piers Doherty, should look at the actions and antics of their own party in relation to the Northern Ireland institutions, where over €4 million was claimed by Sinn Féin MLAs when they didn't even turn up to work for a year and a half.
It's emerged that a Donegal fishing vessel was ordered to leave an area of Irish fishing waters by a British naval ship last week. Greencastle-based Mariona was fishing off Tory Island on Tuesday last when it was confronted by the HMS Lancaster. An investigation has been launched by the Department of Foreign Affairs after the incident was reported by the Killybegs Fishermen's Organisation. Its CEO, Sean O'Donoghue, says he's still awaiting the outcome of that investigation.
Last Tuesday, I got notification that one of our vessels that's based in Greencastle was asked by a UK naval vessel to leave an area which is in the Irish EEZ north of Tory as such. We were totally taken by surprise by this, because originally I thought that the vessel was in UK waters, the UK EEZ, but it wasn't. It was in Irish waters. All I know is that I immediately took it up with our Sea Fishery Protection Authority, who immediately took it up with Foreign Affairs and Defence. I haven't heard back from the Foreign Affairs what the outcome of it was, but as far as I'm concerned, the British naval vessel, the Lancaster, had no jurisdiction and no authority to tell the vessel to leave the fishing area. And as I understand it, they said they were doing exercises there for 3 days.
And indeed, this is a very worrying incident, and hopefully it is an isolated one.
I think some people are trying to add two and two and come up with 5 years. As I see it, this is absolutely nothing to do with Brexit, because the Lancaster, no doubt, was actually well within the Irish EEZ. So there was no question about that. We weren't notified. I mean, if they were operating there, you would have imagined that the vessel would have been in touch with Foreign Affairs and Defence, that there would have been an agreement that they could do it. I'm not sure whether this was just a mistake or whether somebody had been notified and we weren't notified about it.
And that was Sean O'Donoghue, the CEO of the Killybegs Fishermen's Organisation. He was speaking there to Michaela Clark. A substantial number of families are still waiting for social housing in Donegal. A number of housing projects are underway in the county or nearing completion. But despite that, there is still high demand. Donegal County Council is encouraging landowners and owners of derelict sites in towns or village centres to make contact with them. Councillor Gerry Crawford is backing those calls. He says a lot of towns and villages need some regeneration, and this would provide an excellent opportunity to allow that to happen. He says as far as the housing lists are concerned in Donegal, it's still quite high.
There's 2,600 people in Donegal waiting on social housing. 1,600 of that figure are accommodated at present under the HAP scheme, but it still leaves a very substantial number of families who are desperate to receive social accommodation. The council's plans going forward, as they have indicated, is that while there are various starts throughout the county and various housing schemes well advanced and some almost completed, there still is a real demand. And what the council is doing is they're appealing to people who would have land or people who would have buildings within towns that they consider that could be renovated or brought back to use to meet some way regeneration of the area and to provide social housing. the councillor have advertised and they have asked for that, for offers to come forward, and that is something that will appeal to people who are in a position to make those offers to do so.
And it would be a win-win situation, as you say, people with derelict sites and that sort of thing. It would bring the different towns and villages up to spec and also provide much needed social housing.
Well, it is, because the towns, a lot of the towns and villages really do need regeneration, and they do need life brought back into town centres in a lot of places. And this is an opportunity for people who may be in a position to help out in that for to do so.
And that was Councillor Gerry Crawford there speaking to Catherine Gaffney. A competition has been announced for professionals with proposals for the reimagining of the public space at Market Square in Letterkenny. Letterkenny Chamber, in partnership with Donegal County Council, is inviting concept design proposals for the square with a view toward creating a space in which people want to spend time. With more, here's Catherine Gaffney.
The concept design proposals will imagine how the Market Square can be a central public space that conveys and communicates the DNA of Letterkenny and its people and fully meets the needs for usable public and civic space in the heart of the town centre. The competition is open to professionals and students in architecture or other related fields, and the deadline for submissions is 4 p.m. on the 4th of September. The prize in relation to the winning design is €8,000. An adjudication panel will evaluate these submissions and shortlist design proposals. The design proposals will then be displayed in order to further engage the community in the process, and the community will be invited to indicate their preferred design proposal. This community participation will inform the final decision of the evaluation panel. The winning design concept may be advanced to Part 8 in full or in adapted form in due course. Further information in relation to the competition can be found at donegalcoco.ie.
A leading expert has questioned the legality surrounding the decision to stop the pandemic unemployment payment for people who travel abroad. Over 100 people had their payments stopped as a result of checks at airports at the weekend. The Irish Council for Civil Liberties has labelled the move discriminatory, as only those on social welfare are being penalised for heading overseas. The director of the ICCL, Liam Herrick, says the government has serious questions to answer.
And it also seems that this might be outside of the minister's powers, because she is justifying what she's done today in terms of health and public health, but she's not the Minister for Health. The Minister for Health has powers to introduce regulations, of course, which we're all very familiar with over the last 4 months, but she's not that minister. And I think there's a real problem here for the government in how this has been introduced.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny, with the new Donegal GA Raven range, including zip-ups, tracksuit bottoms and shorts, available in-store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Approaching 5:15, we say good evening to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We're going to start with horse racing. Oisin Orr has rode the winner in the opening race of the Galway Festival. The Donegal jockey was on board Blue For You, taking the Dermot Well-trained horse home first at 8-1 behind closed doors at the Ballybrett Course. Orr has 3 further rides to come on day one, where the feature is the Connacht Hotel Handicap. 3-time Grade 1 winner Sharjah is the favourite for that one. Well, later on this evening, the DL Debate, the championship presented by Brendan Devaney, will air just after the 7 o'clock news. And he'll be joined by former Dr. Maguire Cup winners Brendan Kilcoyne and Neil Gallagher to look ahead to the opening round of the Donegal Senior Club Championship. The action starts on Friday with 2 games and 2 big ones as well. St. Michael's taking on Glen Swilly, and Bundoran are hosting St. Eunan's. Brendan Kilcoyne says that the game at the bridge has been billed as a really, really good one.
We can recount great games between these two teams down through the years. Well, maybe some of the games weren't so great, but they were always very, very keenly contested. And Glen Swilly going down there, it's a really big assignment. St. Michael's have massive quality, and they're always the team. Michael's are always the team you pick outside the big teams that are expected to be at the business end of the championship that you expect something from. And they just haven't got over the line down through the years. You know, and you look at the quality they have, and Colm Anthony there, and you know that he's still their main scorer, but they have so much quality. And I think it's time for the St. Michael's, the likes of Michael Langan and the younger O'Reillys, are a couple of lads there, is it Edward and Carlos? And, you know, these fellas really need to step up to the plate if Michael's are going to push on this year. As regards Glen Swilly then, Brendan, like, you know, Glen Swilly are the team that you... If they can get through the qualifiers and get into the quarterfinals, there'll be a match for anyone. You know, any team that has Michael Murphy in it, you know, they have a great start in any game, and they're going to be very difficult to beat. That's a massive game. So it is down the bridge on Friday and one to really look forward to.
There's more from Brendan Kilcoyne and Neil Geller tonight on the DL Debate the Championship with Brendan Devaney just after the 7 o'clock news on air and available in the sports section of HighlandRadio.com as a podcast as well. Brendan will also be speaking to Paddy Bradley about the championship in Derry, which starts this weekend, and who the contenders in the Oakleigh County will be. Just on Donegal Gaelic Games, the CCC have confirmed the fixtures for this weekend. As we told you, there's now two matches on Friday night. The games at the Bridge and Gaelic Park between St Michael's and Glenswilly and Bundoran and St Eunan's throw on at 7:30. Three matches on Saturday at 2:30. Niamh Connell host Milford. Termon go to Kilcare with a 4:30 throw on, and then in the evening at Eamon Byrne Memorial Park at 6:30, Killybegs host Glenfin. Three further ties on Sunday with four Masters up against Gwydor at Tyrconnell Park at 2:30. At 4:30, St Noel's, last year's intermediate champions, are hosting Dunloe. And then Ardragh are making the trip to Ballybuffet to play McCool's in the last game of round one at 6:30 on Sunday the 2nd of August. There's four games in total to be played this coming Friday night. A bit of a change from the norm for Donegal GAA with four championship games on Friday. There's one intermediate A match which sees Fanagh Gaels against Clonhilly, and there's also a junior A football championship game on Friday with Convoy hosting Carndonagh. On to cross-channel soccer, Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp has hailed the departing Dejan Lovren as a legend. The Croatian defender has completed a €12 million move to Zenit St. Petersburg after six seasons with the Premier League champions. Tottenham have confirmed that Jan Vertonghen and Michael Vrom have both left the club following the expiry of their contracts. Belgium defender Vertonghen had been in North London for 8 years and says he has a number of serious offers to consider. Crystal Palace manager Roy Hodgson admits the future of Wilfred Zaha is still uncertain. The winger is rumoured to want a move away from Selhurst Park during the summer transfer window. While Chelsea are hopeful of agreeing a new deal with Willian before the end of the week, the Brazilian is out of contract this summer and was set to leave on a free transfer after being offered a 2-year extension. Glenn Whelan has signed a new contract at Fleetwood Town. It'll keep the veteran Republic of Ireland midfielder at the League One side until the summer of 2021. Cardiff will host Fulham in the first leg of their Championship playoff semi-final this evening. Scott Parker's Fulham side finished just 2 points off the automatic promotion places during the regular season. Kickoff there is at 7:45. Up in Scotland, Hearts and Partick Thistle have failed to overturn their relegations following an arbitration case. A panel has decided that the promotions of Dundee United, Raith Rovers and Cove Rovers should stand, with Stranraer's relegation also confirmed. The two clubs took legal action against the SPFL after being consigned to the drop as a result of a vote to curtail the season amid the COVID-19 pandemic. One match tonight in the Ulster Senior League. It starts at 7 o'clock. Fanage United are playing Derry City Reserves. And finally in golf, the European Tour has confirmed that this year's Alfred Dunhill Links Championship has been cancelled due to the coronavirus pandemic. It had been due to be played at St Andrews, Carnoustie and Kingsbarn in October, and tournament organisers say that'll be part of next season's European Tour schedule and will be played in early October 2021. That's your sport, Donald.
Thank you, Washing. Donegal's Oranelagh Emergency Service had a busy weekend responding to two call-outs. Two teenage girls were rescued just north of Port Salon Pier after they got into difficulty while out kayaking. One was picked up by a small fishing boat in the area. The other made her way onto rocks and was assisted by two paddle boarders. None of the casualties required emergency medical attention. The PRO of Lochswilly Lifeboat is Joe Joyce.
There's a lot of people taken to the water now, and one of the things you have to be very conscious of is what the tide is doing, and more particularly what the wind is doing. So unless occasion there, the wind had just caught them and had blown them out into the swilly, you know. When Malinhead put out a request for assistance, it's kind of an unwritten rule that everybody stops what they're doing and goes if they can, and they can assist, and we must pay tribute to the crew of that boat there, that they were on the ball there. They spotted that kayaker, they took them on board and took them to safety, and that was great, because it is quite difficult to locate. Like, you think it's easy to find somebody in the water, but it is quite a difficult task. There was also a lot of people on the shore that had made numerous calls to Malinhead that there was something amiss. And I suppose we must pay great tribute to the two paddle boarders who went over there and stayed with the teenager until help arrived. So, you know, it was a great team effort by everybody in the community, and it's great to see that, you know, and people's just awareness that if something goes wrong on the water, do not be afraid to ring Malinhead and get the proper resources there.
Joe Joyce of Loch's Swilly Lifeboat, the PRO there. Meanwhile, the volunteer crew of Bundoran Lifeboat was called out to reports of bodyboarders in trouble at Rosnalla Beach yesterday. They arrived on scene to be told by a lifeguard on duty that the two bodyboarders had made it safely to shore. Finally, staying on the water, serious concern has been raised over the potential environmental impact that oyster trestles are having along the western shore of Lough Foyle. There are fears locally over the issue, with almost 60,000 trestles said to be going unregulated. The root of the problem is said to be ongoing jurisdictional issues in relation to the ownership of Lough Foyle. Donegal County Council is to write to the Marine Minister to discuss the situation, but local councillor Terry Crossan says he believes it can only be resolved by negotiations between the British and Irish governments.
It is an area where we get over 22,000 migratory birds every winter to overwinter there. And while these number of trestles grow, the area for the birds feed along the alluvial plains at the edge of the estuary, and these trestles are taking up larger areas of it, so the areas available to the over wandering birds is greatly reduced.
What would you like then the minister to do then in this regard? Police it better?
Well, what needs to be done, the reason why there are so many unregulated trestles is because there is a jurisdiction issue over ownership of the bed of the park that can only be resolved through negotiation by both the Irish and British governments, and until that happens, they will go on placing trestles until there is no space at all for anything else other than trestles. That has to be sorted out at intergovernmental level. It can't be sorted out by us at council, but while it is unresolved, there are serious ongoing environmental issues.
And that was Councillor Terry Crossan. With the forecast, cloudy periods with some clear spells this evening, a chance of an isolated shower in moderate to fresh northwest winds. It'll be mostly dry to start with clear spells tonight, cloud increasing later with scattered showers developing. Lowest overnight temperatures 8 to 11 degrees Celsius in mostly moderate west to northwest breezes. Tomorrow we'll see a mix of showers and sunny spells. The showers most frequent around the northern coastal area, becoming isolated in the afternoon. It'll be fresh tomorrow. Highest temperatures 14 to 17 degrees Celsius in moderate, occasionally fresh west to northwest breezes. Looking at the headlines, and Taoiseach Micheál Martin says a plan which is being discussed by Cabinet this evening will allow schools to reopen and stay open. Ministers are considering the more than €300 million plan, which would see schools given significant funding to undergo building works to adapt to life with COVID. Meanwhile, the former Education Minister, Donegal Deputy Joe McHugh, says while the funding announced today is important to get schools reopened initially, financing and resources will have to be kept under review. He believes more will be necessary in order to sustain the situation. Meanwhile, a leading immunologist at Trinity College says Ireland is tantalisingly close to eliminating coronavirus in the community. It comes ahead of key decisions in terms of reopening the economy, particularly the reopening of schools at the end of next month and the reopening of pubs in August. Back with more at 6. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Monday evening, the 27th of July. The death has taken place of Agnes Doherty, Crossroads, Malin Head. Requiem Mass in Star of the Sea Church, Malin Head, on Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock, with interment afterwards in Lag Cemetery, Malin. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake and funeral are strictly private to family only, please. The death has occurred of Danny Deveney, Derry O'Connell, Duhurry. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral Mass on Wednesday morning at 11 in St Connell's Church, Duhurry, with interment afterwards in the new cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family and close friends only. The death has taken place of PJ McFadden, Handsome, Derry Real, Dunfanaghy. Funeral Mass in Holy Cross Church, Dunfanaghy, on Wednesday at 12 noon, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. In compliance with HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are private to family only, please. The death has taken place of Pat Ferry, Woodhill Dunfanaghy, formerly of Maher Drummond, Milford and Sussex, England. His remains are reposing at Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountaintop, Letterkenny. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11 in St Peter's Church, Milford, can be viewed on churchservices.tv/Milford. Cremation on Wednesday at 3 o'clock in Lakelands Crematorium, County Cavan. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Neurology Intensive Care Department, Beaumont Hospital, care of any family member. In accordance with HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family and close friends only. The death has occurred of Kathleen Quinn, née McGowan, Trenamullen, Stranorder. Her remains will repose at McGowan's funeral home, Drumbo Avenue, Stranorder, this evening from 7 o'clock until a rosary at 9 o'clock. Removal from there tomorrow morning to arrive at the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorder, for Mass of the Resurrection at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in Drumbo Cemetery. Requiem Mass will be streamed live via the parish webcam at churchservices.tv/Stranorder. In compliance with current government restrictions re COVID-19, the wake and funeral are private to family and friends only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to the local St Vincent de Paul Society, care of Martin McGowan, McGowan's funeral home, Stranorder. The death has taken place of Robert Freeborn, Tullymore, Ardra. His remains will repose at Shovelin's funeral home, Sandfield, this evening from 7 to 9, and tomorrow, Tuesday, from 1 o'clock, with service at 2 in the funeral home, followed by removal to St Connell's Church, Ardra, for burial in the family plot. In accordance with HSE and government guidelines, the funeral home and burial are private to family and close friends only, please. The death has taken place of Eileen Cairns, née McCullough, 83, Bells Park Road, Ernie Strabane, formerly of Crana Plumbridge. Funeral leaving her home tomorrow morning at 25 past 11 for Requiem Mass in St Teresa's Church, Sion Mills, at 12 noon, interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Parkinson Society, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to family only, please. The funeral mass can be viewed live on the Sion Mills webcam via Melmount Parish website. The death has occurred of Sylvester Hughes, Dramanus, Glebe, Lahey. Requiem Mass in St Bridget's Church, Ballintra, tomorrow morning at 11, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to government restrictions, the wake, funeral and burial are private to family and close friends only, please. And the death has taken place of Anya McGurn, née Early, 94, Ballycolman Estate, Strabane. Funeral from her home tomorrow morning at 9:15 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount at 10 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam, melmountparish.com/webtv.html. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral are private to family only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to the Foyle Hospice, care of Quigley Funeral Directors.